TMZ TV.
All right, here we go. Think about what I said yesterday about the fine print on God's, quote, contract, unquote. Now, God doesn't have a contract with us. I use the analogy of human contracts, human deals, human bargains, human arrangements. If you want to know the truth of the matter, if you want to get behind the pretensions and the hypocrisy of the presentation, you go to the fine print. And they always hope you don't read the fine print. That's why they put it in two-point type, and they put it at the bottom, and they don't paragraph it, and it's a giant block of text. Nobody ever reads the fine print, because that's where you end up getting screwed. And even on the radio now, you have verbal fine print. At the end of the commercial, they go, it's absolutely ridiculous. I hate it. I turn it off. Who do you people think we are? Well, it's because they have some bad news for you at the end, and it's always bad news. And my contention to you yesterday was that if God was advertising on the radio, if God was an insurance salesman, if God was a banker, if God was trying to sell you life insurance, you would go to the fine print. And it would be even smaller. It would be one-point type. It would be a half-point type. It would be so small, not even a gnat could read it. You would have to get an electron microscope. So you would think that because it's so small, because you can't even hardly read it, it might as well not be there. It must be really bad. Like, oh my God, you know, you get the idea about that we have of the Christians, which is a true idea. You know, that, yeah, God advertises grace. He advertises he loves you. He advertises he'll always be with you, never forsake you. Then the fine print is, unless you do this, unless you do that, unless you do this, I'll send you to hell for eternity. Other than that, things are good between us, right? Yeah, that's what you would expect from that's what you get from the Christian God. And they also, but this is not the true God, of course, but Christianity is nowadays putting their God, who is the crazy uncle in the attic, they putting him in fine print. They don't come out and talk about eternal torment. Yes, God will boil you alive. No, they don't do that. It's the fine print. Like, we don't like to emphasize that part of the good news. We'll just play some songs and we'll just get you rocking and rolling, and we'll sing songs about grace, and we'll sing songs about love, we'll sing songs about joy and happiness and the acceptance and the love of God. And then hopefully you won't ask any questions, but if you do, I guess we'll show you the fine print. Yeah it's kind of bad
because it upends everything you said, which is, again, the definition of hypocrisy. God hates hypocrisy. He is going to destroy hypocrisy like Gomez Adams used to blow up his trains in the basement on the Adams family. Yeah. But here is the true God, the fine print on the true God, as I said yesterday, and I'm going to launch from here, is it's even better than the advertisement on the surface. Even better. Like, the advertisement is, we'll give you life insurance for $1 a month. It's just like crazy. That's insane. Then you see the fine print. Oh boy, here it comes. Here it comes. God's fine print says, I was just kidding. It's actually going to be 1 penny a month. Or it's actually free. You don't owe us anything. Yes, no money up front, no money down. And you go to a bank, and God's bank or whatever, and you're going to get this certain interest rate, right? And God advertises, let's say, in the scriptures, the actual God, he advertises a, quote, interest rate. Like, here's what you're going to get when you find yourself with faith and you're following me and you're reading my word. I'm going to give you a 30% interest rate on every dollar. It's a great interest rate. Then you get to the fine print. Oh, God, here's the fine print. Ha, just kidding. I'm going to give you 100%. I'm going to give you a full share. In fact, you're going to own the company with me. Why didn't you put that? This is the question. God, the true God I'm addressing now, why didn't you put that in the main advertisement? If you got something so great to offer, like insurance for a penny a month and a 100% interest, why are you putting that in the fine print that hardly anybody can read? Now you're getting into the mind of God. He does it because he wants to shock and awe and surprise and to realize that he's even better than his advertisement. This is why the Christian God is not the true God, because he's worse than their advertisement of him. He will always disappoint you because it's not as it seems. Remember that tract I talked about in my newsletter called Why Christians Are Hypocrites? Yeah, that guy, his name's Hudson of the Sword of the Lord Publishers. He says that every sin you'll ever commit, whether you live to be 1,000, God placed on Christ at the cross. Every sin you'll ever commit, God looked through the telescope of time, my friend, and he saw every sin you would ever commit, and he took those sins in one giant package and laid them on Christ. Then you get later in the tract, a little tract, probably maybe 1,000 words. There's only one sin for which a human will go to hell for eternity, and that's the sin of not believing in Jesus. Oh crap, I thought he took away all the sins. No, that's the fine print, and it always sucks. Now, with God, he announces himself, 1 Timothy 4:10, I'm the savior of all humanity, especially of believers. It's like, wow, that's a hell of a nice opening card. That's like, why are you playing your ace? Why are you playing your ace? God, save it. Here's the truth, is that he's got something better than an ace, because his fine print is, it's going to be so much more than merely he's the savior of all humanity, especially of believers. And the salvation of the world, he leads with that card. I'm the savior of the world. I'm the savior of all humanity, especially of believers. I will reconcile all to myself. Reconcile, that's having peace. He's going to reconcile all things in the heavens and on the earth and underneath the earth, all sovereignties, powers, and authorities, even the wicked ones, even the evil ones, even the nasties. He's going to reconcile them through the cross. It's like you're playing another ace. You only got two more aces in the deck. What are you going to do about this? Oh yeah, there's fine print. And the fine print takes it to the next level. It's like I'm not only going to reconcile, there's not only going to be peace, but I'm going to make some people co-regents of the universe. I mean, I can't even invent something. I'm trying to come up with some hyperbolic way of saying that God is going to outdo even the ace he plays out the gate, but I can't. And I'm going to give you a verse as to why I can't. Okay? But God is so humble, honestly, and humans would play their best card. God doesn't. God plays a good card. God plays a great card, which is far superior to anything the church plays. But then he has cards that we've never heard of. Like, how can you get better than an ace, right? He's got cards that we haven't even heard of that beats an ace. The thing is, we've never heard them. And here's the verse I'm speaking about in 1 Corinthians 2:9, according as it is written, that which the eye did not perceive and the ear did not hear and to which the heart of humanity did not ascend, whatever God makes ready for those who are loving him. The things he is making ready for us are things that eye has not perceived, ear has not heard, and to which the heart of humanity did not ascend. The heart of humanity, whatever the heart of humanity desires and wants, the most lavish thing it could dream up for itself, the richest expectation, the richest riches, you have not even ascended. You have not even begun. It's like, why are you thinking small? If God would ask you what you want and you're like, okay, I want $100 million in my bank account. I'd like a house on the ocean. I want all my kids employed in Fortune 500 companies. And I want free life insurance, free health insurance. And I'll tell you what, can I live to be 1,000 years old and never get sick? And God says, why are you thinking so small? Why are you thinking so small? That's what we're looking at here. And if we could read the fine print, if it was big enough to read, it would be far beyond every element I just named. These are human desires. They're not very noble or elegant, I don't think. But okay, we'll take them at face value. And let's say, yeah, there's something about that that would satisfy us, right? God has said, no. Ear is not heard. Eye is not seen. The heart of humanity is not even ascended to what I'm going to do. And yet he doesn't announce it. part of it is this. Part of it is that he's humble and it's like, I'm saving it. I'm going to surprise the hell out of you with this because you're going to think that, wow, what he's announcing on the surface, his opening card, they're good enough. As I told you yesterday, I'm satisfied with his, with the cards he's playing on the surface. But I know for a fact that it is so much more than that, that it can't even be described. It can't even be described. So God is into surprising. God wants to lavish us with things that we have never even thought of. And that's the nature of God, to give more than what is expected. Now, here's the shocking thing someone asked me. We know that God uses stupidity to shame the wisdom of the so-called wise people of this earth. People on this earth think they're really smart. Some people are smart, but people who are smart in their own estimation are kind of insufferable, aren't they? They think they've cornered the market on wisdom, and they think that they are the people. Wisdom will die with them, and God lets them go their way, and he lets them show their wares and all their extravagances. And then he does something that looks completely ridiculous and foolish and stupid, like he has Bible stories like Noah's Ark and the story of Gideon's army, where God reduces Gideon's army from 20,000 men to 300 men, and they rout the Midianites with clay pots and banging pans and everything. It's just totally ridiculous. David and Goliath, you know, it's just... But here's the thing, and you know this, and I'm going to remind you of this, in that God delights to do stupid things. I've told you this many times, but I have new subscribers, and I want everybody to hear this. This is a great truth, and you won't hear this anywhere else. People think, like smart people, people who are smart in their own estimation, they feel kind of sorry for God. Because of the Bible stories, because of Noah's Ark, why does God do things like this? The virgin birth, it's like Jesus was born in a little manger. People are embarrassed for God, and they're kind of like, and he speaks to the prophets, and they use sometimes parabolic language, and it's kind of difficult to understand, and people are a little embarrassed for God, and people think, wow, God's kind of embarrassing, actually. And we don't want to follow God because he's a little ridiculous. And he tells these baby Bible stories. And he has all the animals go into the boat. And the big flood comes. And it's just, please. And Adam, God creates Adam, one man, out of the soil. People are too smart for that, see? They're too smart. They think that God is trying to be smart and falling short of their genius. That's what people think. What they don't realize, and here's the revelation, the pre-revelation before the real revelation. What people don't realize is that God is purposely being stupid. He's purposely doing things that the hoity-toity will look down upon as stupid, because God will show in the end that his stupidity is wiser than the wisest thing humans have ever done. His stupidity trumps the smartest thing anybody's ever done. Invent the internet, cure polio, write the great American novel. Whatever humans have attained. Rockets to the moon. It all is actually stupid compared to even the stupidity of God. I'm going to read the verse in case you think I'm crazy about this. Does not God, I'm in the end of verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, does not God make stupid the wisdom of this world? And this world has a lot of wisdom. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm not denying it. But God makes it stupid. How does he do that? For since, in fact, in the wisdom of God, this is a wise decision God made, the world through wisdom knew not God. That's a big thing. The world through wisdom knew not God. All the wisdom of humanity can't find the deity, because the deity is perceived spiritually. The deity is perceived from within. So you can invent the internet. You can invent a supercomputer. You can be like, you can invent your own rocket ship to go to Pluto. Okay? You can cure cancer. But all this will not locate God. This is why. Because God had decided in his wisdom that the world through wisdom would not be able to know God. The world would have to become, in a sense, stupid and simple. Remember what Jesus said? Let the children come to me because the kingdom of the heavens is made of these, of children. Of people who are, they could be geniuses, but in their own estimation, they're humble and they realize that there's a God and they're not it. So it was wise of God to operate things this way, that the world through wisdom would not be able to find God. So therefore, God delights through the stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing. The stupidity of the heralding, what's that? People like me go out and we herald something. What do we herald? We herald a man on a cross. And God himself admits that that is stupid. He admits. And I remember, never forget my dad saying this back in the day when I first started to read the scriptures and find out about God. Why are you following a man who was crucified on a cross? Because he was like the Greek at that time. He was like the Greek who, this is too stupid. This is ridiculous. Why are you following? That guy was a failure, obviously. He got himself crucified. He wasn't smart enough to save himself. Didn't the priests say that to him while he was on the cross? You claim to be the Son of God. Save yourself. Get off the cross. But God was using the stupidity of that. And it's going to be seen when the world finally, God shines the light on everything. It's going to be seen that the cross, and those of us who have been given faith by God see it already. We see wisdom in the cross. It was wise of God to do it like that instead of with a giant army, 1 million angel army that comes and takes over the world with, you know, spiritual laser, boom, 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 Star Wars style. That's not a good way to take over the world. That's the way the world would take over the world. The world would develop these great lasers and they'd have artificial intelligence. They would have robots, they would have AI robots out there with boom, boom, spiritual lasers or some kind taking over the earth. That's human wisdom. Or they would put laser beams on the moon or something and, you know, put on light shows. But no, a man dying alone and friendless on a cross. How is that wise? But God did that way on purpose because it will be seen. And it's even seen by us preemptively that that is wiser. That act, a man on the cross dying for the sins of the world, is actually smarter than anything humans have done. And if you see that, God bless you for that. So back to the passage. It delights God to do this. To save those who are believing. Who are believing what I'm telling you. Paul goes on. I know I've said all this to you before, but I'm going to say something to you different. By the time this video is over, you're going to hear something different. Since, in fact, Jews signs are requesting and Greeks wisdom are seeking, that is the worldly person seeking wisdom. The Jew, the religious person, wants to see a sign. Yet we are heralding Christ crucified. To the Jews, a snare, to the nation, stupidity. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God inhered in the cross. While it was happening, it was the wisest thing. The power of God and the wisdom of God. For the stupidity of God is wiser than humans. And the weakness of God is stronger than humans. I'm going to read that again. It's verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The stupidity of God is wiser than humans. And the weakness of God is stronger than humans. And we would not know this unless God raised up the wisdom in humanity. Unless God raised up strong human beings. These become a foil against which God displays what would be in comparison to these things, stupidity. And yet it will be seen and is being seen by those in the know that the stupidity of God is wiser than humans. This is what someone asked me. They said, Martin Zender, what if all we've ever seen is the stupidity of God? Apart from the cross, because the cross has been called here the wisdom of God. But the world looks at it as stupid. So that was, a stupid thing to save the world by a naked man on a cross dying a horrible, tortuous death at the hands of the Romans who were mocking him. Oh, God, that is really stupid. But that's called the wisdom of God. What if that is like the wisest thing? And this friend said to me, what if we've only seen up to this point the stupidity of God? What if God hasn't yet departed from this formula of this modus operandi of presenting a thing that looks stupid, a thing that is easily made fun of by smart people? What if he's still on that? And the cross was the ultimate example of it. And what if, Martin, what if we have yet to see the wisdom of God? Do you know what this means? This means that the cell, the human body, the amazing self-contained element of life, the atom in all its wonderment, DNA, the double helix, the breeding place of every human characteristic, the sun, our sun, giant radiating ball of hydrogen sending life into trees and plants, the human body, the human brain with all its complexity. How does it happen? The heart that pumps on its own without you even thinking about it, sends blood through your body, keeping you alive. The taking of oxygen into your lungs, and the blood knows how to extract the oxygen from the blood, sends it to the pulmonary arteries, and sends it to all the veins, arteries, and capillaries. The tiniest little capillaries at the end of your finger are being nourished. The ant, look at an ant carrying food, an army of ants. Solomon said, the army of ants. Look at the ant and learn wisdom. They have organized colonies, and they each have a job to do, and they're industrious, they're frugal, they're smart, they're instinctive. Look at bees, a colony of bees who have a society that is intelligent. It's intelligence. Look at the eyes of a dog. See the intelligence looking back at you from the eyes of a dog. I haven't even gone into outer space yet. The rings of Saturn. All these wonders. The human eye. Look at it. How can someone's personality come out through their eye? How? But you look at somebody's eyes, you can read into their soul. What if all of this and everything else I haven't named, what if all of this is still only the foolishness and the stupidity of God? What if all life on the ocean and beneath the ocean, all those strange creatures under there, as wonderful as they are, some of them probably yet undiscovered, what if all of that is still only the foolishness of God? The human body, still only the foolishness of God. God's just playing around. The double helix, that's just God playing around. He threw that one off his index finger at the last minute. Let him play with that for a while. The Milky Way galaxy. Let him play with that for a while. What if that's just a foolish little toy? What if we haven't even seen the wisdom, the undiluted, hidden wisdom of God? No filters. No filters. No, not filtering it through stupidity. Not filtering it purposely through foolishness in order to teach humanity when they finally see that their attainments, their wisdom are nothing compared to even the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than humans. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What if, ladies and gentlemen, what if
We've never seen the unfiltered, undiluted wisdom of God. Oh my God.